It is a beautiful Monday morning.
That's not a good start, is it, Jordan?
No.
Let's say it like this.
Try and apply that theory to any other industry in the world.
It's a scam.
I was betting like 70, 80K.
This is the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast, helping you beat the bookmakers.
G'day, everyone. Welcome to episode 83 of the Trademate Sports Betting Podcast, a betting preview of this weekend's Premier League Game Week 24. And Euro football action. We'll be looking at the EPL, as I mentioned, Serie A, Ligue 1, and unfortunately, Nigel's taking us back to League 2 once again. Firstly, I'll introduce our card betting expert, George Gamble, mate. How are you?
Yeah, as per, mate. Doing well. Just stuck in England in lockdown, as per, like, same old. But apart from that, I'm magic, mate.
You're always magic, mate. You're always bringing the mood up. The first comment from the podcast. you're always bringing the mood up with your old.
I set the tone, mate. It's what I do.
I mean, if you backtrack a couple of months ago, mate, I was the depressed one on the podcast, stuck in fucking Mexico. So, you're going all right. Last week, mate, you went one from two. Spezia Bet Builder came in, didn't it? I'm pretty sure it did. I was checking it out.
Yeah, Spezia one came in, flew in, easy.
And Atletico Madrid 2-0, that did not play out though, mate. Well, what's going
on? Oh, that was ridiculous. I couldn't believe it. Like I said, Celta Vigo, awful away. And then somehow against the best defence in La Liga, concede two goals. But one, I think the last goal they conceded in the 89th minute. And the defending was just horrendous. It was so uncharacteristic. But again, it happens. One of those games, you know, look at City, not conceding against Premier League sides, go way towards Swansea City and they slot. You know, so it's one of those things, mate. It happens, but on to the next.
Cool, mate. And also joining us, Nigel Seeley from Premier Sports Players, mate. Made quite the appearance last week. How are you backing up, mate?
Yeah, oh, good, mate. I'm all well. Nice week. Didn't do too good with the selection. I think we have one win, one push and one defeat. Defeat was a 95th minute equaliser. Last kick of the game, made it 2-2. It was an absolute killer for me. It was all right. I spent all afternoon just rowing with people on YouTube, which was quite entertaining. I didn't have much to do, so I thought I'd start a fight with a few 19-year-old Latvians. But it was all good. It was all good.
The fucking Latvians, mate. They're a harsh race. I'll give it to you, though. I didn't give you shit about the Burnley one. I was just asking a few questions, mate. You just took it very personally. But at the end of the day, I think you said 2.7 for Burnley draw no bet, and it closed at 2.5. So well done.
Do you know,
mate,
what though? I tell you what, it hit 3.1 though. It went out to 3.1, and then all of a sudden the team news come out, and Ashley Barnes was playing for Burnley, and the line come in.
And you smashed the Levante one too. I think you said that at 2.25 and that closed at like 1.8. So you smashed that one. You didn't go too good in the Tranmere one. I think that went up a bit, but I mean, 2 from 3.
But there you go. So it goes back to, sort of, you know, you're talking about the closing line value, which we understand, but the only one that won was Tranmere.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, that's betting.
So it just shows you. So like sometimes, you know, the other thing is there's no liquidity in League 1 or League 2 football in on the exchanges, and it's monopolised by maybe one or two big players. You know, there's only probably £20,000 bet match on a League 2 match. If I wanted to have on, I could make the thing go from 2.3 to 1.7 if I wanted to. But, you know, I couldn't go that far. But, you know, there isn't much liquidity in the market. So one big player can manipulate the price. It's sort of a false market, really. The Premier League is obviously rock solid.
Yeah. All right, fellas. Quiz question of the week. What year and what competition did Tottenham last win a trophy? I thought we'd have a little bit of fun this week, give the old Spurs a bit of shit. So what year and competition did Tottenham last win a trophy? And we will get to that at the end of the podcast. I mentioned this yesterday, but we have been nominated by the Smart Betting Club in their 2021 annual awards, whatever it's called. They got all sorts of categories like best betting website, best video channel, best podcast. And we got nominated in two categories. So the last two I mentioned, best video channel and also best podcast. So if you're listening, watching this, you got a bit of spare time on your hands, would very much appreciate if you guys could, I'll put a link in the description below and give us a nominee or give us a vote would be terrific.
Can I just say something on that, Alex? Can I say, did you see who else was nominated for that?
Oh, lots of very, very, very good people. So we've probably got
absolutely Premier no Sports chance. Place. Website was nominated for the same category as you. Yes.
Oh, well, don't vote for Nigel, whatever you do.
There you go. So, like, you know, I've worked for everyone on it. So I can say I've worked for the winner, can't I? Whatever.
Absolute journeyman.
I just before we go, it's a funny story. I'll tell you a quick story before we go into the podcast. So people might like this. Talking about that, I used to go around to racetracks, give tips to horses, and there was one race. I had to do four boxes, go into the box and give the tip. There was one race, it was a four-runner race. And I went into the box, and box number one, I gave horse number one. Box number two, I gave horse number two. Box number three, I gave horse number three. And box number four, I gave horse number four. So I thought, whatever happens, I can say I tipped the winner. So horse number three won. And I said, if this horse wins, I'm going to come in. And I told everyone it was the best bet of the day. So I went into the box three after it won, and everyone in the box, this is the guy who told us to bet the horse number three. And I was having a few drinks, and everyone was saying, he's a genius, he's backed the winner. And I went, yeah, brilliant, and everything like that. And this bloke come and tapped me on the shoulder. He said, I was in box two. My mate was in the UK was number two. I've done my bollocks. I was, I'm sorry,
I don't see how that's relevant.
The relevance was I was saying that I worked for every single one of those things. So whatever one I could claim the winner. Yeah. So there is a relevance. Yeah,
Sorry, I thought you were getting old and you just lost track of what we were actually talking about. But that's all right, mate. I didn't realize you had a video channel. So I mean, I'm sure it's pretty decent, mate. So go check that out, everyone. Nigel's. I'm not too confident on what those videos are, but maybe go check it out and just be very wary.
I've got a feeling they're just like live video footage of just Nigel in his lounge just with Stella's with a disco ball going on, just absolutely loving life and going mental.
Yeah. Listening to Blur it out, listening to Blur, Park Life.
Just sat there in a camera, throwing wine gums up in the air, just trying to catch him.
With VR goggles on.
Got him on there. I'll tell you what, you're giving me an idea, boys. We'll win it next year on that idea. Oh,
Jesus Christ. All right. So go and vote for us and that would be great. Let's kick things off. We'll talk a little bit about Manchester City versus Tottenham, probably the game of the round in the EPL this week. I will get my screen up with the odds, but you have very short prices for Manchester City here. You can get best odds of about 1.34, 1.35. The draw is at around sixes, maybe a little bit less than that in a few places. And Tottenham as high as 9.5, 9.6, those kind of prices there. Man City now on a 10-game win streak after that big win over Liverpool last weekend. They are well and truly running away with the title at the moment. But interestingly enough, I'm pretty sure the last time these two sides played each other, at least in the EPL, Tottenham came away with a 2-0 victory, didn't they, George?
Yeah, they certainly did. I mean, City dominated the entire game, but at that point, they were still kind of defensively, not solid as they are now. And it was like literally about two or three attacks they had the entire game, but they were clinical, as they were sort of at the beginning of the season, the early stages. So they won 2-0. City couldn't break them down. They were very, very solid. But obviously, the stories for many teams, to be fair, since then to now, has changed dramatically, and none so more than Spurs, you could argue. So I think with this one, though, I've looked at the price of City, and I think it all depends on who's available, because you've got Ruben Diaz, who missed out Swansea with a bug. He had a slight fever, problems with his stomach, and he's a doubt here. As is Rodri, he's a potential doubt. And if Rodri doesn't play, that means Gundogan's going to have to drop potentially deeper. So, it's kind of mixing the team around quite a bit, and it's messing with, they always say, don't fix that which isn't broken. And obviously, we've got no choice here. If we're missing those players, we're going to have to move it around a bit. And you sort of wonder, could that kind of mess with the fluidity that we've seen from Manchester City over recent weeks? So, again, it'll depend on team news. But also, you look at the Spurs, they obviously just coming off extra time against Everton midweek, which was just a ridiculously good game to watch as a neutral. A lot of poor defending going on, though, I have to say. But yeah, so obviously they're coming off the back of that. Not as much rest as City. Obviously, City got the extra 24 hours. So I still think that City price, you know, even as a City fan, I'm trying to look at it without my blue tinted specs on. But that price is ridiculously low, even regardless of the records. For me, it's all about who plays. If Diaz plays and if Rodri play, then this is a formality. I think City win easy. But well, if they're not available, it'd be interesting to see who takes their spots.
Well, I've just gone a bit further away and looked at the goal line here, and I can guarantee where Big Nigel wants to go here, because once again we've got a big game which have been notoriously low scoring between the, you know, if you've got a game between the big six clubs this season. And then once again I would guess they've got the line at about over under 3 goals, because you can get under 2.5 goals here as at high of a 2.35 on the exchanges at the moment. So I reckon old Nigel will be licking his lips on that one.
But I would do. Sorry, George.
Oh, no, I was just saying, like, you know, six of City's last 7 home games have seen under 2.5, but they've, you know, been against teams that are going there thinking, well, we're just going to sit back. We're not, you know, not try to get them on the counter, but we're going to sit back, and it's been difficult.
Isn't that what Tottenham will do?
Yeah, but Tottenham, regardless what they are, I don't think, you know, yes, Mourinho, that's what he wants to do, but I still think they'll try and play a bit. I still think they'll be playing more than a lot of other teams have done when they've come to the Etihad. So I think there'll be more gaps to exploit. But again, it's a tricky one, because for me, it's all about who plays. It's all about the team. Because if the team has to get reshaped, players coming in positions they're not used to playing in recent weeks, I'll probably look at it a bit differently.
Your thoughts, Nige?
I think the line of the total goals, you know, I would be looking to go under rather than over. But I think it's a very, very difficult Premier League card this week. There's only one bet in the Premier League that I actually really like, which we'll come on to a bit later. The rest of them, I think there's really, really some difficult matches. If you ask the straw poll of 100 people or bettors how many people who would win this game, I'd probably say 95% of them would turn around and say Tottenham. But then ask them, would you back them at 2-7, you know, 1.25 or 1.22, that kind of price, people would tell me to say no chance. I would definitely go unders if Harry Kane wasn't in the side, because obviously Tottenham are a completely different side with Harry Kane, not only for the goals he scores, but obviously the goals he creates. And obviously him and Son are the best partnership probably offensively in the Premier League. And, you know, whenever they just sort of telepathic, which they are the goal threat. Last year, earlier in the season, it was 2-0. Tottenham drew 2-2 here last season, and Tottenham also won 2-0. So they've been a team that they've had problems with before. And you remember, obviously, Tottenham famously knocked Man City out of the Champions League in a classic game, which was 4-3. I don't think Manchester City have to go gung-ho to win the title. They could just cruise through now, I believe, in first gear and just win games 1-2-0. If you look at Man City's fixtures, their next 5 or 6 games are big. They've got some big, big matches. They've got, I think, Manchester United, haven't they? I think they've got Arsenal.
And then they've got
the Champions League game as well. And with a team that's got some key injuries to De Bruyne and obviously Aguero, obviously, and other two players that George has mentioned there, it just wouldn't surprise me to see Man City win this 1-2-0, get the job done, and just go get another 3 points. And if they go 2-0 up with half hour to go or 25 minutes to go, I can see them bringing off some key players that need a bit of a rest and bringing on some of the players, which they've got some star-studded players on the bench as well. But I don't see them going all out to win this game. I wouldn't be surprised to see Man City win 1-0, 2-0, which would bring in the under 2.5 goals. But really a very tentative small lean towards under 2.5 goals.
How much would Ruben Diaz being out affect that, you know, Tottenham's ability to score goals, George?
Well, I mean, again, you might laugh at saying it, but everyone's been saying how badly Liverpool have missed Van Dijk. It's no different for us with Ruben Diaz. It's been that quick, his impact on the side. Defensively, he is, you know, he's barking orders, he's organising, he's dragging people where he wants them. He's the one putting his body on the line. He is so integral to that City defence. You know, John Stones, even, you know, I was watching an interview, and, you know, he said since Ruben Diaz come in, he's not just built a partnership on the pitch, they get on really well, then, you know, they learn how to play with each other. So it's kind of, you take one of those out and it's going to be, we've already seen it when, you know, a couple of players have missed out, whether it be one or the other, and it's just not been quite the same. I think if Ruben Diaz is unavailable for this game, you know, I still think City will be relatively solid, but I think Tottenham will have chances against us, just purely because we'll be missing that organisational ability from Diaz. I think he's not obviously well known at the moment, but I think it will soon, in the same way that David Silva went years of only City fans saying how excellent he was, best player in the Premier League, and everyone was like, it's all right, but he's nowhere near as good as that. And it was only in the latter years people realised just how good and how important he was to that Man City side. And I think it'll be similar with Diaz. And I think eventually when you do miss him, you'll see just how important he is. So, yeah, it's massive. If he plays in this game, just as Nigel said, I think it'll be a 1 or a 2-0 victory. I don't think they'll go all out for it, and I think they'll keep the clean sheet. But if he's not there, I think there'll be chances. So, again, for me, depending on whether Diaz plays or not, for me, if he doesn't play, I'd probably be leaning towards the overs, if I'm honest, because Spurs will get chances. But if he plays, just that organisational skill that he has and that impact that he has on that defence, if he plays, I'd lean towards the unders.
Yep. And how sure are you about his injury at the moment? Do you think he's what kind of percentage? Do you know any percentage chance he is of playing? Or?
Well, it just says he's obviously going to have a late fitness test, might be. But even Pep was asked after the Swansea game, where's Diaz? And then that's when he said, and they said, is he going to be available for Saturday? And he was like, no idea. So if he doesn't know, I haven't got a clue. But I know he's going to face a late test.
Okay. All right, gents, too easy. We'll leave it there and we'll move on to our next game in the EPL. We'll start with you this week, George, mate. You have some insight on one of the greatest teams in the world, if not the greatest, Arsenal versus Leeds.
I presume you're talking about Leeds, but that might be a bit early. It's the first season back. But, I quite like this game simply for the fact of the referee. He's my favourite referee in the Premier League, and he's got the highest cards per game average amongst all of the other refs by some distance. It's Stuart Atwell who's overseeing this one, and he, on average, hands out about 4.38 yellow cards per game. Just sort of looking at these two, I think it's going to be with all these games, to be fair, they're quite intense affairs, and particularly against Arsenal. I think this is going to be an interesting game, particularly for the neutral. In the previous fixture, the reverse fixture, Leeds saw 3 yellow cards in that game. And again, it was quite expansive. It was exciting for a neutral. It had all the ingredients you wanted. The card totals that, say, Arsenal have had against teams in the top half, it's not great. Nor for Leeds, for that matter. But, against, for example, the Big Six, the traditional Big Six, and then obviously include Leicester as well. They've only seen 2 or more cards in 2 out of 5 of those games. But I just feel with this one, because it's Stuart Atwell, there's a lot of the games that these two have played have been with refs that have been quite lenient, where Stuart Atwell just doesn't let anything go. And first half tends to be, with Stuart Atwell games, you sort of think, oh, is this the right thing? And then second half, the cards just come flying out. And I think with this one, Arsenal against Leeds, just the way they play, particularly obviously, the wing play, the quick counter-attacks, I can see quite a high number of cards in this game for me on this one. So my bet on this one is, it's just going to be a simple bet builder, just under evens, 10 to 11. So I'm trying to work out, was that 1.9? I'm trying to work out what that is.
Yeah, 1.01.
Yeah. So for me, it's going to be Arsenal just to see a single card in the game, but Leeds to see 2 or more. Leeds need to see 2 cards, Arsenal see a card minimum, and that's at 10 to 11. So that's one of my favourite bets for this one, simply because of the referee. He's just ridiculous when it comes to cards. He's the best ref in England, I'd say, at the moment for cards, in the top flight anyway. So that's my one for Arsenal against Leeds.
Awesome, mate. And I think on that game too, it's quite an interesting game. And I think the odds are really a bit strange, especially from the perspective of an Arsenal fan. I think they are very, very, very short. I'll just bring up the odds again. So
I did a podcast today on this game. Arsenal are a shorter price at home against Leeds as Everton are at home to Sheffield United, which doesn't make sense to me. If you said which one was more likely to win, you would go Everton to beat Sheffield United this week against Arsenal. Yeah. I think the Arsenal price is very, very short.
Yeah, I agree. And Thomas Partey was ruled out today. Tierney's still out. And just the way that Leeds play, Partey is like so, so key in breaking up the press of Leeds, and he's an integral part of the team, and he really transfers us from the first third of the pitch to the last third of the pitch so beautifully. And I think it is a huge, huge loss for Arsenal. So yeah, I'm very, very surprised that the price for Arsenal is lurking around that one.
The market loves Arsenal though, Alex. The market absolutely loves Arsenal this season for some reason. Mm. They're always heavily bet. When they went to Southampton, they were bet off the boards. When they were away to Everton, they were bet off the boards. The market is absolutely, you talk about closing line value, you can pretty much guarantee that Arsenal will always get bet. You know, they're always a very, very popular side. And whether you think that, if you bet Arsenal blind this season, I don't think you would have made any money, but they're always very, very popular.
Yeah, yeah. And as you can see here in the odds checker, well, you can't see anymore, but there is money coming in for Leeds. So that will be interesting to see where that closes at. And just to recap, George, it was Arsenal 1 card, Leeds 2 cards at 1.91. And obviously they can get more cards than that. But
yeah. As long as those lines are hit, then this bet's a winner. So, Arsenal to get at least a card and Leeds to get two or more.
Happy days, mate. Let's move on. Nigel, you're keeping us in the Premier League, mate. Chelsea versus Newcastle.
Yeah, it's funny. It's just as you come to me, Chelsea have just won 1-0 in the FA Cup against Barnsley. Another clean sheet for Chelsea, which goes to my bet that I'm going to suggest here. I mean, Chelsea under Thomas Tuchel, a much more defensively stronger unit. First thing he did, he shored up the defence. They looked a little bit much more defensive. They obviously lost Thiago Silva, which is a big blow for them, but they've got some quality defenders in that side, and the goalkeeper is strong. And the big news today for Newcastle was Callum Wilson is out for 6 to 8 weeks. You take Callum Wilson out of that Newcastle side, they offer nothing as an attacking threat. He scored 10 goals this season. Of the 25 in the Premier League that Newcastle scores, he's responsible for 40% of their goals. He's the main assist as well with 5 assists. And if you took him out of the team, the next top goal scorer is Almiron with 4 goals. And after that, it's Jeff Hendrick with 2 goals. That is how reliant on Newcastle are of this man for scoring goals. And they're allowing for 6 to 8 weeks. The only saving grace for Steve Bruce is that there's a bit of a buffer between the bottom three and Newcastle. Otherwise, I think they would be in really, really big trouble heading into the final sort of third and half of the season. So it's not a surprise for me to say this, that I think Tottenham here will win. And the bet here, without question, Chelsea. Is Tottenham to win. Sorry, Chelsea to win. Sorry, apologies. The bet here will be Chelsea to win. And without question, I feel the best way to get with them is to bet Chelsea to win to nil.
I predicted that. Look at that. I've already got the odds up for you, mate. I knew where you were going.
It's 10 to 11. I bet it with Bet365 about 2 hours ago. It's 1.91, Chelsea to win nil. They've beaten Newcastle already to nil this season. Last 2 years, they've won to nil. And this is a Newcastle side that create no chances. They're very, very low on goal XG. And their main man, who their only player. I mean, if Joe Linton will come in instead of him, I could do a better job than him. Even at 47 years of age, I'd do a better job than him. And I think Chelsea are just a cracking bet to win 2-0. 2-0, they won this game. They beat Newcastle up at Newcastle, and they won 1-0 last year in the two matches, all three wins 2-0. And this is a Chelsea side under Tuchel that have only conceded one goal in his 4 matches now, and that was an own goal against Sheffield United. So I love that bet. I think that's the best bet in the Premier League this week by a mile, and one of my strongest plays of the week across Europe. Chelsea to win 2-0. We've got to wait till Monday. We could all be skimped by then, so we'll see how we go.
Yeah, well, you can get 1.95 at 888 Sport and also BetVictor. So you can get even better than that at the moment.
That's a fantastic price.
Yeah, would you go any lower than 1.91?
You're talking about closing line value and price movement. I'd be amazed if that price is not nearer 180, 185 come kickoff time. See, no one's thinking about this game because it's Monday. So the markets, most casual bettors, and they're thinking about games against on Saturday and Friday. And they're not looking ahead till Monday. But when they suddenly realise that Callum Wilson's not playing, and bettors have knee-jerk reactions. They see the team on the night and think they want to have a bet, the more recreational. and they will all have a negative towards Newcastle in goals. And I think that line will be about 185 tops.
Okay, brilliant, mate. Let's move on. Bordeaux versus Marseille. George, you're taking me to the beautiful country of France.
Well, certainly am, mate. Certainly am. Yeah, this is one I'm really looking forward to, actually. Marseille have been sort of a regular punt of mine throughout the weeks, really, purely for their ill discipline. This has got all the ingredients you want for a game of cards. So you've got Bordeaux, who are the second most fouled side at home per game on average. And you've got Marseille, who commit the most fouls away per game on average. And the referee is Jerome Brizard. And he averages around 4.5 yellow cards per game. But he also has handed out, he's made 11 appearances in the league season. And in that time, he's awarded 8 red cards, which is just insane. So that's about 0.7 red cards per game. It's just ridiculous, and I just enjoy watching the games that he refs, just because they usually end up in being absolute carnage. But yeah, so like I said, it's got all the ingredients that you want. Markets weren't available earlier; they're still not on Bet365, but there's one on Sky Bet that I do quite like the look of, and that is Marseille to see 30 plus booking points, and that's at 10 to 11 as well. So I was just looking at their records, you know, when they're facing obviously top sides in Ligue 1, they've seen 4+ in 5 out of 6 of those games away to teams in the top half. Whereas, you know, you can get 3+ 10 to 11. You know, they're like, if you remember last season when we spoke, Getafe were always my favourite. They still are, but Marseille this season, it's like something's changed them, and just they're so aggressive in the way they play, always picking up bookings all the time. And Jerome Brizard is the perfect ref to have in a game where you want to see bookings. So yeah, I'm looking at that on Sky Bet. Marseille's pick up 30 plus booking points is at 10 to 11. I do want to wait to see what the odds are for Marseille to see a card in both halves. You know, because they average around 1.5 yellow cards per game in the first half this season when playing away from home. So I think the lowest I would take on that is probably around 1.9. But I'd want around, if you can get around evens for that, then obviously you absolutely take that. But any lower than that, I wouldn't be having a go on that personally. Yeah, this is what I'm looking forward to. I'll be updating as well, because I'll be looking to see what other kind of markets Bet365 offer for that, because they're usually the best people to go to for cards. But no, maybe even Marseille most booking points, because, you know, Bordeaux have seen 2 or more cards. When they've been playing the top half at home, they've seen 2+ cards in just one of those games. Whereas the opposition has seen 2+ cards in all of them. So even Marseille to see the most booking points, that's also a 10 to 11. That'd be a great shout as well. I do want to, like I said, I want to see what that is on Bet365, because usually they're better odds as well, early doors. So yeah, I'd be wanting to have a look at that. If you can get Marseille most booking points at around evens, that's definitely a price that I'd have as well. So yeah, the 2 picks for me I'm going to probably definitely play, though, is Marseille 30 plus booking points. And when the odds come out, I will also do most booking points as well for Marseille.
Jeez, mate. Very thorough. Love it. All right. We'll keep an eye on that and see if we can get some new odds coming out. I was just looking at Bet365, but I'm not sure if they have come out with a market.
Yeah, it's not there yet, no. So I'd imagine it'll be there sometime tomorrow. We'll see what they say.
All right. Terrific, mate. Italy, Nigel. Roma versus Udinese.
Yeah, it's a busy day on Sunday. Lots of European football, and it's Valentine's Day. So my lovely wife, she'll be going to Italy at 11 o'clock, at 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock she'll be going to Spain for La Liga. Then at 2 o'clock she'll be going to Germany for Bundesliga. And then she'll be walked back. So I'm taking her on a whirlwind, beautiful, romantic day all around Europe on Sunday for Valentine's Day. What a gentleman I am. What a lovely man.
But imagine being Nigel's wife. Imagine that. It would just be such a treat.
Just clearing up Stella bottles all day.
Right, listen. I'm hurt by this offence. Listen, I'm going to come on the phone to my agent. How much you pay me for this? Double. Listen, this is unbelievable. I expect it from the Latvians. I don't expect it from you two. Come on. Anyway, let's calm
have you
down.
Have you had like back in the day, mate? Did something really bad happen to you at the expense of some kind of Latvian? Because you really don't like them.
It's just a joke now. It's a running joke. It reminds me of the beginning of Back to the Future when it's the Latvians. Marty getting the car that he watched Back to the Future. It's a bit like that. But no. It's an in-running joke now. But I'm very upset by these offensive. And you know, what do you think I am? Anyway,
yeah. Mate, you know what Stellas do to people.
I haven't got a drink problem. I've got two children, Stella, Carlsberg.
I love it how he's got to prove to us. Like, guys, I don't have a drinking problem. Please.
You
haven't got a problem if you like it.
There's no problem there. It's other people who've got a problem with them. But anyway, that's up to them. But anyway, we'll talk back to, I think the game I'm interested in is Roma v Udinese. Roma, a couple of weeks ago, would be around about probably 1-2 to win this game, sort of that kind of price. They've had a little bit of a blip in recent weeks. They haven't really been getting the results, but their results have always been against the top clubs in Italy. So whenever they play the teams at the top of the table, Roma usually come out second best. They can never really beat the teams at the top. But when they play the teams at the lower end of the table or the teams they're expected to beat, Roma are real. They're flat track bullies, effective. They always beat the teams that they're expected to win and fail against the big clubs like Juventus and Inter Milan, AC Milan. Roma will struggle. And they are unbeaten at home this season. You know, they're playing some good football at home. Their goal XG is very high. They score goals. And I think they've been overlooked here at the price to beat Udinese, who are sort of 3 or 4 months ago, they went through a decent run. They got a new manager in. They were playing some good football. But recently, I'm not really being convinced by them. And I feel that Roma deserved to be a lot shorter in the betting than the price that they were this morning. And when I bet them, I bet them at 8-11, which is 1.72. I made them around about a 1.65, 1.6 chance at that kind of price. But if this game was played 3 weeks ago, you'd be about 1.55 on Roma. They're that strong. I think they deserve to be decent favourites. And, you know, I know it's not really a price that a lot of people get too attracted by, a 1.72. But, you know, I think if you can put it in a treble or an accumulator this week across Europe, I think Roma are probably my strongest bet in European football. This is a side that have got the best record at home in Italy and score goals. And against an Udinese side, really nothing to play for. And especially in Italian football, when teams get past Christmas and they've got nothing to play for, they ease off a lot. And I think Roma will be too strong for Udinese at home.
Yeah, so you can get 1.75-ish on the exchanges at the moment. And Bet365 got them at 1.72. Was there like a price where you would you go lower than 1.7 or?
Well, this goes back to my argument that I made last week. I have my price that I make them, and anything bigger than my price is what I'm prepared to take them. And I would make them about 1.65. So if the market, I've played them at 1.72. That's enough for me. In my opinion, they should be around at 1.65. So, you know, if 1.66, 1.67 after commission, you don't really want to be paying. But if you can get anything around 1.7 or above, I think that's a decent bet.
All right. Awesome, mate. I won't fight with you on that one, mate. I think you made some valid points there, mate.
Oh, thanks, mate. Cheers. I appreciate it. Thanks. I've been waiting 46 years of my life to hear that. Thanks, Alex. Cheers, mate.
That validation just makes it all worth it.
I know, it's unbelievable. Thanks,
mate. I can
go to bed a happy man.
No, it's going to make you feel welcome every now and then, mate. All right, staying in Italy.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, staying in Italy, George. Sampdoria versus Fiorentina.
Yeah, so my reasoning behind this one, similar to Arsenal against Leeds, really, is purely the referee. He's an absolute madman. Fabio Maresca is averaging almost 7 yellow cards per game this season, and he's overseen 7 games so far. And under Maresca, the home sides are averaging just over 3 cards per game this season, whilst the away side have seen at least a card in all 20 of his previous 20 games officiated. So it's it's quite consistent. I've got two plays on this one. The first one is for Sampdoria to see a card in both halves. Fiorentina just see a card. You can get that at 20-23 or 5.86, which I still think is a solid bet. I thought it'd be less than that, personally, given how consistent Sampdoria are picking up cards. You know, they're the one of the most ill-disciplined sides in Serie A. But my other bet is a bit more of a long shot, but it did land in this exact fixture last season, and that's for both teams to see a card in both halves. And you can get that at 11-5, or I believe that's 3.2, is it? So that's a play that I'm going to have there, because it's landed in just two of the five, the last five that Fabian Maresca has refereed as well. He's so quick to brandish a card, you know, the slightest challenge. He doesn't matter if it's 2 minutes in, he does not care. He will get that card out. So, yeah, that's a long shot there. Because looking at, you know, when Sampdoria have been facing other sides in the bottom half, you know, they've seen two or more cards in four out of five so far this season. You know, and Fiorentina, when they're sort of playing teams around that mid-table where Sampdoria are, you know, they've seen two or more in four out of seven of those. So I think these are both solid bets, considering the referee who's in charge here. Whenever I always look out to see if Fabian Maresca is in charge of the game, obviously depending on who the teams are, but... No, with this game, Sampdoria with aerial discipline, Fiorentina aren't scared. You know, they're quite inconsistent. Sometimes I'll go a game without picking up any, and other times I'll get four or five. But against Sampdoria, who teams tend to play quite aggressively against, and with Bresca in charge, I think both of these are stand-up bets, really. Like I said, the long shot, obviously I wouldn't go balls deep on it, but 3.2. I don't get why that's funny, mate.
But this is where he says, if you do go balls deep, make sure you use Manscaped.
That was a perfect segue.
I know, but we're not bloody sponsored by them anymore, so they can get lost, mate. Stop.
Mate, yeah, I bought a 100 quid package for my son.
Yeah, what's, I mean, I don't know. They gave us the flick, man.
He promised me a replacement Manscaped, but it didn't happen, did it?
it actually might happen. It actually might happen. We'll see.
But anyway, no. So as I said, don't go balls deep on that big bet. But at 3.2, I think that's a great price. You know, it landed in this exact picture last season, and now you've got a referee in charge who is just ridiculous in terms of handing out cards, brandishes so many, very high average per game. So at 3.2, I think that's a good bet. And the other bet being Sampdoria to see a card in both halves. Looking at their averages and Fiorentina just to pick up a single card in the game at 1.86. I think both are quite solid bets. And so that's what I'll be on for the Sampdoria against Fiorentina game.
Terrific, mate. And to finish things off, he's done it once again. He's just ruined the podcast. Cambridge versus South and on the in how, league
how,
too.
How can you say that? Our leagues are the league runship, so the only thing that's making a solid profit on this podcast since I've been on it. If it wasn't for them, we'd be down the bloody river without an oar. We'd be absolutely in trouble.
Yeah,
I've been saving the sheep for this league.
How can you give a tip out here, mate, when people aren't, there's no liquidity, mate. People won't be able to get $5 down on this game.
All right, fuck it, I won't do it. I have an early night. See you later. Shut up.
All right, well, I'll follow on from Nigel here. I'm back.
No, okay. I think League Two is
yeah,
home Mike, winners. I think it's League winners.
For all the people getting offended at home, and including Nigel, I am joking. I'm trying to have a bit of fun.
I know you're joking.
People are just joking. Too serious these days. Bloody hell.
No, I know you're joking. But let me tell you, I'll give it a little bit. I mean, Cambridge are the league leaders in League Two. I don't think they'll win the league, but they're the league leaders. And I've got a few friends of mine who play still in League Two. And one of my friends' son actually plays in League Two. And every one of them tells me that when they play Cambridge, Wes Houlihan, who's the Irish international who played for Norwich, is the best player in the division when he's on his day. He's 38 years of age, but he just dictates the game against teams and with no physicality. A lot of teams in League Two are physical and he can't get the ball. Anyone who wants to play football with him, Wes Houlihan just runs the show. He's on a different level in League Two. Unfortunately, this season, I haven't been able to watch him live, but I would have been going to see a lot of these kind of games. But I've been watching Cambridge quite a bit, watching their results, and they're okay at home. They score goals. They're a good side, the top of the table for a reason. They're good. They got beat 4-1, though, in midweek against Salford, which everyone's looked at and said, oh, they got beat at Salford. There's a couple of reasons for that. Midweek was the coldest night for 20 odd years in England. It was freezing cold, it was minus four, and the pitch was terrible. And you know, you can make sort of cases for mistakes that happened. They sold two defenders in the transfer window, and two defenders come in, and one of them had an absolute disaster, which was a bad result for them. And obviously, and the other thing is, Salford are a bloody good team. Salford have got the best home record in League Two, so going to Salford and losing is not a bad result. And they play Southend, who were second from bottom, who for the first half of the season just couldn't buy a win, who are absolutely all over the shop. Terrible side. On the metrics, if you look at their goal XG, everything, the goals for and against on XG, they're bottom of pretty much everything, along with Grimsby, are the two worst sides in the division. And away from home this season, they've only managed scored five goals this season and conceded 22. And they're in 23rd in the table, and they head to the league leaders. And you can bet Cambridge at 4-5, 1.8. I think that's just absolutely ridiculous price. I mean, I think people look too much into the midweek defeat. Southend won in midweek as well, and look at that. But really and truly, the team top of the table gets a team at bottom. And usually in League Two, you would turn around and say, you know, teams can overturn teams at the top of the table and the bottom. There's a big gulf. But really, Southend and Grimsby are significantly the worst two sides in this division by some distance. And I think Cambridge are a fantastic bet at 1.8 to win this game. I think absolutely brilliant wager. Fantastic. I make them, again, around about 1.66, 1.67. So it's a market with not much liquidity on it. I would expect that 1.8 not to last. Mm-hmm. Where it will, how far it will go down, I'm not so sure, because it won't take much to move it. But I wouldn't be surprised to see them start around about 1.72.
Yeah, well, there's only available on a few bookies now, 1.8. It's only Skybet, really. I don't know about this markets sports book. They're always big. I just thought I'd bit confused by their prices.
I used them actually.
Are these prices legit, or like they're always
they're usually two ticks off Betfair on the exchange. If the Betfair exchange is 183, they'd be 181. But instead of you would be struggling to get more than 150 quid on it. And once you took the price, there's no other price. So if you took the 181, they come back about 6 or 7 minutes later with a price of 177. You know, that's it. But yeah, you know, if you wanted a 100 quid or 50 quid on a market, they're good. I use them quite a bit.
Yeah, you still get 1.75 at Betway. Exchanges, you should be able to get something around that too. So,
well, they're 181 they're 181 with on the exchange. You can still, from my end here, I can see Bet365 in the UK a 1.8. So maybe a different price that you've got there, but we'll see. But anything around about 1.8, that's a fantastic bet.
Okay. All right, fellas, that wraps things up. We'll finish off, as always, with our best bets of the weekend. Unfortunately, my computer has decided to freeze now, and I can't get up best bets of the weekend, little thing down the bottom, but that's all right. We'll deal with that. George, mate, what do you got?
Yeah, nice and easy for me. I'm going Marseille to see 30-plus booking points. Like I said, at the moment, the only place just offering that market is Skybet. But depending on what Bet365 prices are, you know, it's 10 to 11. Like I said, even at probably 4 to 5, I'd be having a punt on that, so 1.8. But any lower than that, I wouldn't do it. But I want to see what Bet365 prices are. But no, my best bet for the weekend is Marseille, 30-plus booking points. The team that commits the most fouls away from home against the side that is the most fouled when they play at home as well, with Jerome Brizard, who's just a mental referee in Ligue 1. So, yeah, best bet of the weekend, Marseille, 30-plus booking points.
Awesome. Nigel?
It's a very close one between the two bets in England, but obviously because you've got a negative for League Two and you don't like making money, you just like going to high profile matches. You know, I will go with you, and I'll go for Chelsea to win to nil Newcastle on Monday night at 1.91.
Thank you, Nigel. That means a lot to me. All right, that's too easy.
You can go to bed. You can go to bed now with a compliment from me. We'll sleep easy.
Yeah, I've got a long time till I'm in bed, but I'll hold on to it all day, and I'll think about you just before I'm about to hit the sack. What a lovely thought. What a lovely thought.
Rumour has it Alex Bella has Nigel CD posters up on his bedroom wall.
He's not the only one, George.
He'll be up here next week.
He's not the only one, my friend. He's not the only one.
I tell you one country that doesn't have your poster, and that would be Latvia.
If I ever landed there, I would be like, I'd be carted straight off into customs, be out the door. Latvia. We were going to do a road trip around Europe a few years ago, next year, a couple of years. We'd hire a car. When we're sort of veering towards Latvia, I'd be like, nah, do a right. go that way. Don't go Latvia. Swerve that one.
10 miles to Riga.
I really hope we don't have any Latvian listeners. And if we do, I sincerely apologize.
I really hope.
Oh, God. All right. You can find these bloody lunatics at C. George Gamble on Twitter and at Sealy_Nigel. And you can also check out their other stuff they're doing. George is always doing fantastic write-ups for We Love Betting. So go check those out. And check out Nigel's website, premiersportsplayers.com. Probably don't check out his video channel, though. That could be a bit dodgy. Quiz question of the week. What year and competition did Tottenham last win a trophy? How are we feeling confident? Who's feeling confident? You know it?
I think I know. I'm not sure the year, but I think I know.
I'm constantly absolutely railing my dad because of it, because obviously he's a massive Spurs fan, and it's just like, when's the last time? I've been watching it with him, so I know it.
All right, Nigel, you go first then, mate.
I think it was the League Cup, and it would have been against Chelsea.
No, I said what year?
The competition I thought was the League Cup. It was the last domestic thing they won in the country. It was against Chelsea, and I'm guessing around about 2007, 2008, something like that. No, 2007.
All right, George.
2007-2008 season. Yeah, it was against Chelsea in the League Cup final. Was it Jonathan Woodgate who got the equaliser and then went to extra time?
I can't remember. I only beat Chelsea. I remember having two tickets, and some mate of mine wanted to buy them off me for a few quid, and I sold them. He was a Tottenham fan and wanted to go in the Tottenham end, but he was in the Chelsea end, and he went in the Chelsea end.
Yeah. All right, well, yeah, it was 2008, but, I mean, you're very close, Nigel, so I'll give it to you, mate. Well done.
I need all the help I can get on these, mate. I need all the help on the quiz.
Yeah, you've copped it today, mate. I've got to come back. You mean you just completely abused me. You embarrassed me last week, mate. I mean, how can you embarrass the host of a podcast?
What did I embarrass you for? Listen, you do enough embarrassing yourself. You don't need me to help you, Alex.
All right. Cool. Let's finish up there. If you guys are interested, our next podcast will be with a professional handicapper. I interviewed him last week. His name's Corby from College Caps. So, that'll be out on Monday. And also we did the UFC preview yesterday with smart sports trader Ryan Bruno, which was lots of fun. There's lots to get through on that one too. So we've got you well and truly set up for the next couple of days. But thanks for listening, everyone. Make sure you do a quick rate and review of the podcast and subscribe to us wherever you listen. Go vote for us on the Smart Betting Club awards, and I'll put that in the description below. And if you're looking to implement some of the strategies we talked about today, not Nigel's ones, if you're interested in some CLV, I'm joking, mate.
Listen, I'm gonna set a boy band up on the next X Factor and call it CL fucking V.
All right. We'll call it there. Go start a free week trial of TradeMate Sports. TradeMateSports.com. See you guys later. Thank you once again. Bye.